Hello again, biathlon fans, and welcome to Heartbeat, the U.S. Biathlon Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Kelly. A special thanks to our Heartbeat sponsors, Aaron's the King of Snow, Maloya outfitting the U.S. biathlon team, and Paul Smith's College offering education and sport training in the heart of New York's Olympic region. We are on the eve of the IBU World Cup at Soldier Hollow, but in this episode of Heartbeat, we want to bring in two globe-trotting junior biathletes to talk about the Youth Olympic Games this past January in Gangwon Province, South Korea. Elias Soule and Emily Campbell are two of the rising success stories with U.S. Biathlon. Emily and Elias have been circumnavigating the globe this season. After a successful Youth Olympic Games in Korea, they headed to Otapa, Estonia, where Heartbeat caught up with them at the start of the IBU Youth and Junior World Championships. Elias comes from the great state of Alaska, where biathlon is flourishing. And this fall, he'll be headed to college at Harvard. In the episode, he talks about the likely juggling of his biathlon schedule together with the college carnival circuit next winter. Emily Campbell grew up in the Olympic town of Park City, Utah, coming out of the burgeoning biathlon program at Soldier Hollow, the 2002 Olympic venue. Today's episode of Heartbeat is about the next generation of biathletes with two exciting young stars. Now let's join Elias Soule and Emily Campbell from Otapa, Estonia, for a fun interview on Heartbeat. Welcome to Heartbeat, and today we're going to take you to the other side of the globe, to Estonia. We are on the eve of the Youth and the Junior World Championships. With me today, Emily Campbell and Elias Soule. Welcome. Thanks for you guys taking some time to join me this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great here. So, Elias, why don't you kick it off? Tell folks where you are. And by the way, we're recording this literally the day or two before the start of the championship. So, Elias, where are you guys tonight?
So, we're in Otapa, Estonia, actually, which is about 2 hours away from the capital. And we just got here a couple days ago, and we've had a couple training days. And the venue's awesome. The snow's solid. Yeah, excited to get cooking here on Friday.
Cool. Emily, how about you? How's your introduction to Estonia?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, everyone's been super friendly and I love the course. It's definitely going to be a hard course, but I'm really excited for it. And the weather's been good, knock on wood. Hopefully it stays that way. But yeah, everything's been awesome so far.
Let's start out and talk a little bit about this event coming up, the Youth and the Junior World Championships, an event that was actually held at Soldier Hollow in the USA a short time ago. Emily, why don't you kick it off and talk about the significance of this event for you and your teammates?
This is definitely a huge event to have the opportunity to go to, and only 4 people in our age group qualify for men and women, so it's really awesome to get to be here, especially this year at trials. We had definitely the most competitive trials, I'd say, that I've been to. And so that was really exciting to see just how many more people are getting involved in the U.S. and how the sport's growing.
Elias, what about this event for you? What's the significance and what do you hope to take away from it?
Yeah, right. So this is the world champs, the junior world champs. So yeah, you're competing against the best of the best in the world, some of the top athletes in our field. And it's just awesome to like see what you got, you know, compare yourself against the best of the best and see where you stack up.
Emily, what do you hope to take away from this event yourself?
For me, I think kind of like what Elias said, it's really cool to see how you stack up against the best and the best in the world. But I also think it's just a really cool experience to get to meet people from other countries and get to have this opportunity to, you know, be in a new country and ski in a new place. And so I hope to learn something from the races and take something away from that experience, but also to meet new people and have that kind of aspect of it.
I want to have each of you talk a little bit about your own background. Emily, you come from my hometown here in Park City, long distance from here today. But Emily, why don't you start it out and give us a little bit of background on how you got into sport and how you eventually made your pathway into biathlon?
Yeah, so I actually think that it's kind of a funny story because my parents are from Texas and Kentucky, so they didn't really grow up skiing or anything, but then they moved to Utah. So both me and my brother grew up like being on snow from a really early age, alpine skiing. I think we started at like 2. And then we got into Nordic, I think just because like my mom Google searched good sports for tall kids to try. And then Nordic skiing popped up. So we kind of gave it a shot and loved it. It was definitely harder than alpine skiing, but my brother, who also does it, we were both pretty athletic kids and we enjoyed challenges. We were both runners before that. So it was really fun to have kind of a more challenging aspect of skiing. Then I got into biathlon. I tried this Girls and Guns event down at Soldier Hollow. Just saw something about it and thought I'd give it a try. I think I was like 10 at the time. And I thought it was so much fun. And the first time I hit a target, I was just so excited about it. I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. And it was really cool because at that point in time, the Soldier Hollow program was really starting to grow and have more development opportunities for younger kids like me. And so I really got to kind of grow with the program, and they've supported me through my entire journey. And it's been really awesome, I think, for me to see the program grow and also for them to see me grow kind of with their support.
Elias, how about you? You come from Alaska and certainly a big sports state and this big Nordic sports state. But what was your pathway to make it into biathlon?
My dad is from Colorado. My mom's from Cincinnati. And my mom's a doctor, actually. And she got her residency up in the Great White North. And it was supposed to just be like a three-year deal, just residency and then go move out. But once they got there, they realized like this place is amazing and kind of dug their heels in and like, you know, let's stick around. And so that's how I ended up there. And so I just kind of, they got involved in the Alaska community with like skiing and alpine skiing and the winter vibe you got up there. And so I grew up doing it from a young age. But actually how I started out, originally I was in Taekwondo and I started that like when I was like two or something. And I did Taekwondo, became second degree black belt, worked my way up through that. I actually ended up placing like third at Junior Olympics for that. But yeah, so I kind of like did skiing alongside that the whole way up, like with like youth programs and stuff like that. Actually, when I was in like fourth grade, this girl I had a crush on was a part of the like a competitive team called Alaska Winter Stars up there. So I figured I'd give it a try, you know, just to hang out with her a little bit more. But so I joined it. I ended up really falling in love with the sport of Nordic skiing. And so I worked my way up through that. And eventually I tried biathlon with the program. And it started out as a small program and I kind of ended up growing with it. As it grew, I just kept working at it, made through different competitions like nationals and stuff like that. And now here we are, junior world champs.
Let's talk about the culture of your respective towns. And both of you grew up in regions that have a great winter sports culture. Elias, I'll have you kick it off. But how important is that winter sport culture that you have up in Alaska?
It's part of like the core aspect, I'd say. Like, you know, we're a hardy folk up there. You know, it gets pretty cold, pretty dark, and you got to enjoy those long winter months somehow. So yeah, like hockey, alpine skiing, Nordic skiing, pretty much all of the above. It's a really, really big deal. And pretty much, yeah, across the board, you get involved with it as a young age and you kind of grow with it and you kind of pick your lane usually. And then eventually, yeah, you end up where you are.
Emily, you grew up in literally an Olympic village in Park City, site of the 2002 Winter Games and hopefully the 2034 Games coming up. You had the opportunity to try a lot of different winter sports. How important was that culture for you in growing up as a young girl in the city of Park City?
I definitely think that's shaped a lot of who I've become today and my personality and everything. Because really growing up just surrounded by constant Olympians and constant opportunities, like growing up, I tried ski jumping, Nordic skiing, alpine skiing. I mean, I tried basic ice skating, I think, at one point. I tried a lot of the winter sports just because we have the facilities there, which is really cool. I don't know. It's also really nice. Just the community really supports being athletic and supports healthy competition. And I think that's been a really fun community to grow up in with people that kind of value the same things. And they just love the winter sports and have a love for being athletic.
Were you able to take part in some of the Youth Sports Alliance programs like Get Out and Play to sample some of the other sports?
Yeah, I was. I think Get Out and Play is one of the first times maybe I tried cross-country skiing. And then I did kickers and gliders with the Park City Ski and Snowboard program. I don't totally remember all the Get Out and Plays I did, but I definitely remember it being a part of my elementary school experience and it just being so much fun. Also, like when I was at preschool, the preschool I went to had a section of the day where they would just take us alpine skiing. I think that's not something that many kids have the opportunity to do. So I think it's a really special town to grow up in.
Yeah, it really is. And I just love it here with all of the sports enthusiasm that you have here. In each episode, Heartbeat brings you insightful stories about one of the most exhilarating of all Olympic sports. U.S. Biathlon thanks each of its sponsors that help us bring you each and every episode of the Heartbeat podcast. Maloya is the official apparel provider of U.S. Biathlon. Thanks to Maloya, our team is outfitted in high-quality, beautiful apparel and race gear. Not only does the U.S. Biathlon team stand out, but we race in comfortable, breathable suits that inspire confidence. Check it out at maloyaclothing.com. As an official sponsor of U.S. Biathlon, Aaron's is committed to supporting the growth of the sport in the USA. The so-called King of Snow is a global leader in snow removal equipment that keeps facilities and courses clear for training and competition. The Aaron's Nordic Center in Brilliant, Wisconsin is an official U.S. Biathlon National Training Center, further proving Aaron's' commitment to growing biathlon in America. You can learn more at aaronsnordic.com. As the official education partner of U.S. Biathlon, Paul Smith's College takes pride in the programs that it has established to offer athletes a college education and sports-specific training, all nestled in New York's Adirondacks. Its reputation and standing as a college aligns with U.S. Biathlon's goals to support collegiate biathletes as they strive for both academic and athletic success. From an outstanding trail network to its 8-point biathlon range, Paul Smith's College is a great environment for athletes who want a small college located in a sports-centric region. To learn more, go to paulsmithsbobcats.com. Now let's get back to this episode of Heartbeat. Elias, you've committed now to go to Harvard. Why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown on what your plans are there? And I'm curious, when you go there, are you planning to ski for Harvard?
Yeah, so Harvard actually is a D1 ski program, and it's part of the ISA circuit, which is the Eastern Cup. And yeah, I'm planning to join and be a part of the Harvard Crimson and get that team up and rolling. But yeah, and so I also plan on continuing my biathlon career there as well. There's a pretty established biathlon team in Cambridge, Boston area, which we actually have two athletes from that program here with us today at Junior World Program. So I hope to pursue my skiing career as well as my biathlon career and maybe take a couple shots at some of these bigger non-junior competitions coming up.
Yeah, it's pretty cool right now to see the diversity that we're getting between cross country and biathlon. We had Margie Fried and also Grace Castengay on the podcast earlier this season. How do you strike the balance? And I know that you have yet to figure this out, I'm sure, but how do you plan on striking the balance between the two? Are you able to look at a schedule selectively and find pods where you're able to do some biathlon and then others where you're going to be on the carnival circuit?
Well, luckily, these sports go pretty well hand in hand. You can train skiing and still be getting faster at biathlon at the same time. Honestly, all it takes, once you have a good base of shooting, it takes just every like couple weeks or maybe like once a week, hopefully, to like get out to the range and just lay hands on your rifle, get some shots down range, and just try and keep the shooting skills up and focus more on the pursuit of building a better athletic base and getting faster on the ski so I can try and compete with some of these faster guys at the higher level.
So that'll be a pretty big move for you from Anchorage to Cambridge. Are you fired up about that and moving to a different city?
Yeah, it's about as far as you can go, right? Furthest out west and all the way to the East Coast. And yeah, a little bit less snow too, from what I've heard.
A little bit less, but still a good winter culture there. So you guys are in Estonia right now, but just a short time ago, earlier in the season in January, you were in Korea at Gangwon for the Youth Olympic Games, an amazing experience, I'm sure, for both of you. Elias, why don't you kick it off and talk about the experience that you had going to the Youth Olympic Games?
It was an amazing experience, like one for a lifetime for sure. Just all the sports, all the different countries, you were just surrounded by so much athletic ability, so much talent, so much like cultural diversity even. You had people from Brazil, Colombia, up in Scandinavia, like Lithuania, even people from Latvia. Yeah, it was just amazing just to be able to experience that cultural and that that athletic diversity from all around the world and just meet these amazing people, compete against the best of the best, you know, on the pretty much the biggest stage you can be on as a youth, the Youth Olympic Games, you know.
Emily, how was your experience in Korea?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, from the second we got there, you could just feel the Olympic vibes, and everyone was just so excited to be there and celebrating sports and just having fun. It was a really great experience.
As international athletes, you've had an opportunity to travel the world and go to interesting new places. And I think particularly given the age that you are both at, many of these experiences are new. It's the first time you've been to some of these places. Emily, why don't you start it out and just talk about what's the cultural significance for you, not just as an athlete, but as an individual, to be able to go to places like South Korea and see the culture there, and then a few weeks later, find yourself in Estonia? Emily, you kick it off.
So both of us have gone to some crazy places. I mean, last year for Junior Worlds, we were both in Kazakhstan, which is a country I don't even know if I had ever heard of, besides maybe an AP geography before, but it's not a country I've ever like thought of. And I think that just having the opportunity to go to places that many Americans and many people just don't think to go is really cool, because the people there get so excited that they get to share their culture and their ideas with you, which I think is so special. And if you really like take the time to embrace that, I think you can learn a lot about these countries and see how much fun it is, really. Yeah, it's really an amazing opportunity that many people our age won't have and like don't have. And I think that taking advantage of that and really getting to experience all the cultural stuff and, you know, seeing what kind of foods different countries like and just like little things like that, or taking the time to maybe learn a few words in the language, I think that's really special and it's a really great experience.
Elias, how about you? The cultural experience of going to all of these different places like South Korea.
Yeah, like Emily touched on, being able to like travel the world and experience these different countries and different cultures at like a young age is pretty rare. And I'm beyond grateful for the sport for opening up those doors for me. And like we went out into the community and just met like the locals, and everyone was just so excited to just like show us Korea while we were there. And we got traditional foods, and there were people in like traditional dresses at the temples and stuff. It was just absolutely amazing.
Did you spend any time in Seoul, or were you out at Gangwon most of the time?
The Alaskans, actually, we got there a day early and we left a day later than everyone else. And so we got to spend the day in Seoul, both those days, actually. And we got to experience pretty much all of Seoul. We were in the wealthy district when we first arrived and got to experience a little bit more touristy side of Seoul. And then the tailing day when we were leaving after everyone else had left, we kind of experienced like more Seoul proper and got to like really see what the city had to offer. It's an amazing city with like incredible skyscrapers and just old architecture and new. It's just kind of like an amazing blend of like culture over the years and like what you get to see.
Did you have any fried chicken?
I did. I did have the fried chicken. It was pretty dang good.
It really was. Emily, how about you?
I actually did get to try it. I unfortunately did not get to go to Seoul for the day because of the way my flights worked out, but my parents were able to go. And so they took me out to dinner one night and I was able to try it. It was good.
Yeah, it really is a pretty fun place. I had a great time at the Olympics in 2018 in Pyeongchang. Anyway, I think as both of you have alluded to, the spirit of the people and how welcoming everyone is, that really does unite the world of sport, doesn't it?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, definitely. 100%.
I want each of you to talk a little bit about what are the next steps for you? And I know that you've got a great future ahead of you. Emily, I'll have you kick it off. But what are the next steps for you? What are your goals in the sport over the next few years?
Yeah, so right now I'm definitely still trying to figure a lot of that out and come up with some more solid goals. But I definitely love the sport so much. And I just have so much fun competing, like genuinely. I just get so excited for these races and I just have a blast doing them. I mean, obviously it's a painful sport, but when you enjoy it so much, it's just fun. And so for me, I want to just figure out the best opportunities for me to grow as an athlete and continue to train hard and get to experience more parts of the world, hopefully, and continue to grow and travel with the sport.
Emily, you're in the age range where the 2034 Olympics in your hometown is a distinct possibility. Is that something that kind of stands out on the horizon as a goal for you?
Oh, for sure. That's definitely a huge goal for me. I think kind of as I mentioned before, my brother also does the sport and has had huge success in it. He just got back from Junior Worlds for Nordic skiing. But anyway, I think it would be a really, really cool opportunity if we were able to compete in it together, kind of at our hometown as siblings. I think that would be something really special. But that's definitely a goal of mine for sure.
Elias, we talked about how you're heading to Harvard and spending some time there. But as you look out over the next 5 years or so, where do you see your biathlon career taking you?
I plan on really, really focusing on bringing up the ski speed, as I mentioned before. I'm this summer specifically and into the fall session, I'm going to put in massive training blocks, hopefully, in order to really like elevate that athletic base, because that's really what separates the top athletes is their ski ability. And so I hope to bring that level up a little bit and bring the shooting along with it, hopefully, and maybe even get on some of these pro cups, like maybe the IBU and Junior Cup and stuff like that. Maybe even make a shot in a couple of years at the World Cup.
Cool. Well, we wish both of you all the best. We're going to wrap things up here on Heartbeat with our final segment that we call On Target. Just a few fun final questions for you. And the first one is one I ask a lot of athletes, and you guys are in the early part of your international careers, but you've still been quite a few places. But I'd like each of you to share what's been your favorite biathlon venue. Emily, why don't you kick it off?
I was personally going to say Soldier Hollow. There's nothing like home, and I love racing there, and I love the hills, and I'm just like, I'm emotionally attached to that course. I just think it's so fun. Each of the hills has like its own little special name in my mind, and I love Soldier Hollow a lot, for sure.
Elias?
Last year, in Kazakhstan, Junior Worlds, honestly, I love that course. The trees just... I'd love that those Eurasian pine trees, I don't know what they're called, but they spoke to me, man. But they had really wide open trails. So honestly, you could land a plane on them. But yeah, it was a little bit windy, I will say that. But man, I love those ski trails.
Let's take it back now to South Korea, the Youth Olympic Games in January. Can each of you tell me an experience you had there that was memorable for you that had nothing to do with biathlon or skiing? Elias?
Well, I was coming in, I was bringing my gun back, because you have to keep your guns in the, kind of in a locked vault while you're at the venue. But as I was coming in, this volunteer asked to take a selfie with me. And I don't know, I thought that was really cool. He ended up posting it on his Instagram, which I just thought was kind of cool. Just kind of, you know, you get that little micro celebrity moment, you know, it makes you, a little bit of a confidence boost, but yeah, that was pretty fun.
I love that. Emily, how about you?
So for me, it's another volunteer story. Before your race, you do this thing called rifle check, and you check your rifle and everything. But they also gave us like a little bag so that we could put all of our warm-up stuff and water packs and like have all of our stuff at the start, and they write your bib number on it. And this was the first race, and the volunteer was writing my bib number. And then she was like, I'll add a little special heart for you. And I don't know, it just made me so happy, and I felt so special. And then I had one of like the best races of my life. So I think it was very lucky. But yeah, that made me really happy.
To all the volunteers listening to Heartbeat, just know that little things like that, they really do make a difference. Two more questions for each of you. This one you might have to dig deep, but you've traveled internationally. You've been to some far-off, strange places. You're both adventurous. What's the craziest food item you've ever had?
Oh, I have a good answer for this.
Okay, Emily, go for it. You get to start.
In Kazakhstan, I don't know if Elias tried it, but I know one day they had tongue. And I tried that, and the texture was really weird. And then I ended up spitting it out, but I tried it, so...
Actually, mine was a little bit different. While I was in Kazakhstan, I got to try some horse milk, which was very interesting, to say the least. Not my cup of tea personally, but I did try it, so I can say that.
I love the spirit of adventure, though. Okay, we'll bring it back home. Last question. In just one word, what does biathlon mean to you, Elias?
If I would put it in just one word, I would say travel. That's probably the biggest thing, is just seeing the world, I guess. But if I can encapsulate it into just one word, it would be travel.
I love that. And, you know, I love the spirit that both of you bring to this and in really enjoying the places that you go. Emily, one word, what does biathlon mean to you?
The only word I can really think of that is like fun. Like, I just have so much fun doing it. And like, really, I just enjoy skiing. I enjoy the training process. I enjoy the traveling. I enjoy the racing. Like, it's just all really fun.
Well, fun is the most important thing. I tell people that if you're not having fun, why are you doing it? Emily Campbell, Elias Soule, thank you guys so much for taking time from the Youth and Junior World Championships to join us here on Heartbeat.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much, Tom.
I've often thought about how much fun it must be to be 17 or 18 years old and traveling the world, enjoying the sport that you love. Thanks to Elias Soule and Emily Campbell for taking time during a very important competition in Estonia. We've had some great interviews on Heartbeat this season. Head to your favorite podcast platform to catch past episodes of Heartbeat. And don't forget to leave us a review and click on that subscribe button so you get every episode delivered direct to you. Heartbeat is brought to you by U.S. Biathlon and its dedicated team of sponsors. A special thanks to Aarons, the King of Snow, Maloya outfitting the U.S. Biathlon team, and Paul Smith's College offering education and sport training in the heart of New York's Olympic region. And a shout out to all of U.S. Biathlon sponsors, including Maloya, Aarons, Paul Smith's College, Otto Ader, Lapua Ammunition, Rain, Pure Mountain Springwater, and Polar Beverages. That's it for this episode of Heartbeat. Thanks for following us as we continue to tell the stories of the people behind biathlon. I'm Tom Kelly, your host for Heartbeat, the U.S. Biathlon podcast. We'll see you again soon.